Welcome to The Big Story, your daily dose of perspective on the big story of the day in the world of sports. Obviously, our big story today is the Super Bowl. We'll take a closer look at how the Packers took it down 31-25. But first, we will go into our headlines. First headline, the Green Bay Packers, of course, winning Super Bowl 45, 31-25 in Dallas last night. Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP, throwing for 304 yards and 3 touchdowns. Win marks the first Super Bowl win for Green Bay in 14 years and their 13th championship all time, an NFL record. We'll get more into this game in just a few minutes. Second, other sports were played on Super Bowl Sunday, if you can believe it or not. The Heat beat the Clippers 97-79 despite 21 from Blake Griffin. I think LeBron only had about 12 points in that game, but D-Wade had 29 in the win. The Celtics took down the Magic in an Eastern Conference showdown 91-80, and the Pacers beat the Nets. Knicks defeated the Sixers at the Garden behind 41 points from Amari Stoudemire. Knicks still just floating above 500. Speaking of the Knicks, ESPN.com reporting that the Knicks and Nuggets are discussing a three-team deal to send Carmelo Anthony to the Garden. The deal has the Knicks shipping Eddie Curry and his expiring contract along with Anthony Randolph to the T-Wolves, Melo to the Knicks, Chandler, Corey Brewer, and a first-round pick to Denver. So if you followed all that, a little bit better deal for Denver this time. Not as good as the Nets deal, but a little bit better than the Knicks just shipping off a couple of the dudes in their rotation like Gallinari and Chandler. The deal, however, very preliminary and speculative with the trade deadline set at February 24th, so we're still a little bit away from that. Probably try to hit on a recent show my thoughts about this Carmelo Anthony situation as it develops. But it's Monday after the Super Bowl. We should talk about the Super Bowl. Listen, it wasn't a clinic. It wasn't masterful. It wasn't dominant, but the Packers won 31-25 in Dallas. And they bring the Lombardi Trophy back to Titletown. Like I said, it wasn't pretty, but Aaron Rodgers and his squad got it done. And you know, there's a couple of things I want to talk about with the Super Bowl. But again, it wasn't pretty. There wasn't great officiating. There was a lot of dropped passes. The Packers didn't quite look like the sharp-shooting, efficient kind of team they normally are. But they scored 31 points against this very good Steelers defense. And that's really what it's all about. Really, it was clear above all that the Packers were a better team. I talked about this before. When you break it down into running game, passing defense, running defense, really, the Packers' only weakness there is their running game. And basically, that's one of the major points about this, is that they just decided, we're just not going to run the ball. They just decided that they didn't have to run the ball at all. I thought it was amazing that the Green Bay offense rushed just 13 times. Starks had 52 yards, a couple of notable yards in the second half, but really it was just a one-dimensional game. They just sat back there and they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come out there. We're going to line up with 3 and 4 receiver sets, often empty sets. We're going to come up. They're going to know we're going to pass the ball, and we're just going to say that we're going to beat them. We're going to outrun their secondary. Our receivers are better than their corners, and we're going to try to throw Polamalu off, and we're just going to throw the ball every time and try to make this work. We trust that we have a good enough quarterback, and it worked. It's a little bit insane that a team can be that one-dimensional in a game this big with 2 weeks of prep from the Steelers' defense and still manage to pull off 31 points just passing the ball. I mean, it wasn't a secret what they were going to be doing. It wasn't hard to figure it out. They were throwing the ball every time, and that forced Rodgers to have to throw into very tiny windows a lot of the time, which he was mostly able to do. And they were very successful with that. So the one-dimensional attack, not surprising. We knew that Starks wouldn't be able to run, and I guess the Packers knew that they wouldn't be able to run. McCarthy didn't even try. They just threw the ball every time. So they wore their offense on the sleeve, and it just sort of worked out for them. Packers found a way to muster 31 points against a great Steeler defense, so what can you say? kudos to the Packers for making that one-dimensional offense work. Let's talk a little bit about the secondary here, the Packers' secondary, because that was kind of the story. The story in the first half was that Ben basically had nowhere to throw to. I kept saying it over and over and over, and I was tweeting it on my Twitter, at Matty J Stone. You know, Ben just had nowhere to throw to. He was looking, you know, his offensive line. Look, we always, all this talk all week. Ligurski can't do anything. He's undersized. There's nothing that they can do without Pouncey. Now that he's gone, there's no offensive line. The Steelers' offensive line has been terrible all year. They were good last night. They were good. Ben had plenty of time for the most part. When he was rushing away from coverage and he ran for, I don't have the numbers in front of me, or maybe I do, 31 yards on 4 attempts Ben rushed for. That was after he'd been sitting in there for a long time. You want to talk about Roethlisberger extending the play. This is what I'm talking about. Roethlisberger was able to extend the play and rush for 31 yards. But this is after he was in the pocket for like 6 or 7 seconds. He had plenty of time. There was nowhere to throw. There was nowhere to throw. Woodson, Tremont Williams, Sam Shields doing amazing work in that secondary. There was just nowhere to throw. But then, of course, you say, oh, the Steelers are going to come back. I think that this game would have ended 31-7 if the major injuries didn't happen going into halftime, because the Packers lost Woodson with that collarbone injury. Who knows how long he would be out if this didn't happen in the Super Bowl. It was a huge loss. Huge loss. It almost allowed the Steelers to come back. Shields went down. I'm not exactly sure what happened there. But he did come back in the second half. And he ended up coming off the nickel. And he was basically out there at cornerback on every snap. And so the Packers had to play with some backups because they lost Woodson. And they had to take their nickel back and make him their cornerback. So It was a bit of a sticky situation, and it showed, because when the Steelers finally started to muster some offense, oh, big surprise, it was when Woodson was gone. So Woodson was gone, and they were able to get open. Hines Ward was basically the go-to guy there. Roethlisberger went to his veteran and managed to muster some points there, taking advantage of the Packers' injuries. It wasn't enough, of course. But that was the story. I think that they played phenomenally. I wish that I could have seen more of the field on TV during the first half of the Super Bowl, because I couldn't see. You know, you can't always see what exactly is, you know, because the camera's always focused on the quarterback. So you can't always see what's going on with the receivers, with the matchup between the receivers and the corners. And you just have to imagine there was nowhere to throw, because Ben just never had anybody to throw to. The running game was working okay, and there were a couple big points in the second half where Mendenhall just started to take off. But he only ran for 63 yards on 14 attempts, so it wasn't exactly dominant. Certainly, it looked at a certain point like Mendenhall was going to be able to run all over them, and he was breaking some major tackles. He had some big runs. He ran for a TD. But in the end, really, they had to go to the air because they were down and they were running out of time. And they were able to dink and dunk to Hines Ward there in the second half a little bit. But really, the story was the secondary of the Packers being absolutely locked down. Woodson goes out. The Steelers managed to muster up a little bit of a passing game. They come back, you know, within however many points they were within at a certain time. It was 21-17. For a while, and so that's the story with that. Really, the Packers secondary just really being locked down. But I don't want to take away from Rodgers' performance here. He was fantastic. I mean, the Steelers secondary was prepared for this, and you know, but you have to give Aaron Rodgers some credit. This one-dimensional attack, I mean, the Packers ran the ball 13 times. Starks had 52 yards. He was absolutely a non-factor. And Mike McCarthy knew that he would be a non-factor. They went to the air every single time, and Aaron Rodgers made it happen. So, deserving of the Super Bowl MVP. It didn't look pretty, but at the end, the numbers looked okay. He 300 yards, 3 touchdowns in through the air. He was 24 for 39, but, you know, you try throwing the ball 39 times in a game in very tight windows, you know, against the Steelers secondary, who was prepared every time. We're going to be passing the ball, which means just drop back into coverage. You know what's happening. But he managed to throw it into those tight windows. So kudos to Aaron Rodgers for that. That'll about do it for the big story today. The Super Bowl keys again. Really, it was the Packers offense rising above the difficulties that they faced and managing to hold off the Steelers after having that major injury to Woodson. Really, the Packers are a better team. They're a better team and they won the game. And so kudos to them for extending their record of Super Bowl championships. So we'll be back in a couple of days. Thanks for joining us. You can email us at thebigstory1@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at Matty J Stone. Check it out. And we're going to be posting all the video and the audio of the show on the blog at thebigstory1.blogspot.com. So send us an email with your comments, and we'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll see you then.